happening. We're in Psalm 27. When you go to preach in Psalms, it's tough because there's so many good passages. But this is a psalm I've not preached before, and it's actually a beautiful one. We're going to look at the first six verses together. Psalm 27, the Bible says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." So the strength of my life is the title of our message. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege to assemble here this morning around the name of our Savior Jesus Christ and open the Word of God together. And we ask now that the Holy Spirit would use the Word in our hearts to grow us, to teach us, to change us. Lord, may you be glorified in this service and lifted up. May we leave changed and grateful for this opportunity. We want to please you, and may we open our hearts now to hear from you. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So David often in the Psalms would praise the Lord, magnify the Lord, lift up the Lord, and that this psalm is no exception. But this particular phrase where he says, "The Lord is the strength of my life," what a beautiful truth. And my question this morning, it is God your strength? Because the truth is, we often try to operate, even as Christians, in our own strength rather than in his strength. And obviously, he has a lot more than we do. But he starts there in verse 1 by saying, "The Lord is my light." When we're saved, God promises to be the one to give us direction, the one to show us the way. He shows us the way through his word. The Bible says, The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light in my path. But he also promises to lead us himself through the person of the Holy Spirit. If you go over Psalm 32, just a couple of Psalms over verse 8. Psalm 32, verse 8. God says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." So God promises to be that light, promises to light the way and show us the way that we need to go once we're his children. But he also said here in verse 27, verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Now that's what sets Christianity apart from every other religion in the world. Is our salvation is not in a creed, and it's not in a set of works, and it's not found in a church, it's in a person. Amen? Jesus. Our salvation is not only found in Jesus, our salvation is Jesus. You know, the Bible teaches in 1 John 5, this is the record, verse 11, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He goes on to say in verse 12, "And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." When we get to heaven and face judgment, it's not going to be what we did, it's going to be who we have. Do we have Jesus? Are we part of Jesus? Have we accepted Jesus? We're told in Colossians chapter 4 that Jesus is our life. And so God promises, once we are his children, that not only he will show us the way, he is our salvation, but then he says there in verse 1, "The Lord is the strength of my life." Once God saves us, he becomes us, we become part of him. The Bible says we become part of the body of Christ. That he promises to light our way, but to be our strength. And you know, we need this. Because we're weak and we're wicked. We need the strength of the Lord to do what God's called us to do. But he's promised to be that for us. You know, we're told in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things," what? "Through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Our strength comes from God. And He promises to be the strength of our lives. If you go to 2 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul learned this, I guess you could say, the hard way. God had allowed a trial in Paul's life. We don't know what it was, but he called it a thorn in the flesh. And he came to God and he asked God three times to remove it, believing with all of his heart that it would have helped him to be more effective for God if that particular thorn had been removed from his life. And so he came to God in total honesty and said, "Lord, I need you to remove this so I can be more effective." And in verse 9, he says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." God's answer was, "Paul, I'm not going to take it away, but I'm going to leave it there to remind you to find your strength in me." And how often do we do that in our Christian lives? We try to do things in our own strength, in our own wisdom, in our own way, and we fail, and then we come to God and say, "Lord, I need your help." Where if we would have just sought His help through the whole thing, we would have gotten where he was taking us a lot quicker and with a lot less pain. And so God promises to light our way once we're part of Him, but also to be our strength. To not only give us our strength, but to be our strength. As He says, "The Lord is the strength of my life." Now, if these things are true in your life as a Christian, God promises that we don't need to fear. Notice He goes on to say, "Of whom shall I fear?" Psalm 27, verse 2. "When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear." If we know we're part of the Lord, if we know He's the one that's going to light our way, if we know that He is the strength of our lives, we, like David, can say, "I will not fear." And how many things are we held back accomplishing for the Lord because of fear? Because we're afraid of the consequences, we're afraid of people's reactions, we're afraid to step out of our comfort zone. Fear is not from God. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, we're told in 2 Timothy 1:7. So if we have fear, it didn't come from the Lord. And David said, "I know these things are true. God is my strength. God is my light. God is my salvation. I'm not going to fear. Even if an entire army camped against me alone, I'm not going to fear. Because I know I'm in God's will." David said over in Psalm 56, verse 3, says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I will put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." And we can claim the same. We do not need to fear if we know God's on our side. And the Bible says, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" Amen. In Romans 8:31. Now he finishes there in verse 3 by saying, "Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." Now this is a confidence that the world doesn't understand, isn't it? If you're born again this morning, you know you're going to heaven. If you're born again this morning, you know that that can't change. There's confidence in that. If you're born again, you know that God is in control. And though the devil or the world may try to attack, if it's not your time, God will protect you. You know that. And you can be confident in those things. And that's what David is saying. I can have confidence in God who is my strength. I know that He's on my side. I know that He'll be there for me. Therefore, I don't need to fear, and I can be confident in these truths. If you would look at Isaiah 54 and verse 17, Isaiah talked about how God will protect us no matter what. Now, does that mean we'll never die? No. That's not what the Bible says. It's appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment, Hebrews 9:27. But if it's not your time, and even an army can't take you down. That's up to the Lord. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. We don't need to fear weapons. We don't need to fear a tongue. We know God's on our side. Those are some beautiful truths upon which we can build a foundation of confidence in God as our strength. And I believe David then takes those truths and that foundation here in Psalm 27 and says, now that I have this foundation, now that I know these things are true, now that I can confidently go forward and serve God, Lord, here are the things that I need to be doing. Here are the things that I need to be seeking that I might be more of what you want me to be. And he starts in verse 4 saying, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. David said, I know God's on my side. I know He's my strength. I know He's my light. I know He's my salvation. I don't need to fear. What do I need to do? I need to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I need to understand the importance of assembling with God's people whenever I can, because it's an important part of my growth for God. David understood that. If you go to Psalm 84:10, he talked about how important it was to him. I think I preached this verse the Sunday after Mr. Hemme went to be with Jesus, because it just typifies what he was like. Psalm 84:10, it says, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. David went on to say in Psalm 92:13, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Planted in the house of the Lord. David said, Lord, I just want this one thing. If I could just have one thing, that I could dwell in your house all the days of my life. You know, that's the attitude that we should have about being with God's people, being under God's word, being in God's church. David had that attitude, and he said, because I have this foundation and it's confidence in who God is and His strength for me, I want to be in His house whenever I can. He goes on to say back in our passage, Psalm 27, not only do I want to be in His house, but he says, I want to behold the beauty of the Lord. I want to behold the beauty of the Lord. Now, you know as well as I, the best place to do that is in His Word. And I believe every morning we need to open the Bible and we need to pray before we do. Lord, open Thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. Psalm 119:18. Lord, as I go into Your book this morning, I pray that You will open it up. Because He's the best one who can interpret it for us, since He happens to be the author. Open now mine eyes. Lord, I want to behold Your beauty. I want to learn more about You. So please make that true. And God will answer that prayer. David said in Psalm 63, to see Thy power and Thy glory. That should be our desire, is to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our life, to behold His beauty in His Word. But he goes on to say in verse 4, and to inquire in His temple. The three basics of the Christian life right there in one verse. Read your Bible, pray. These are things we're teaching the WANA kids. Read your Bible every day. Pray every day and go to church whenever you can. There it is. Dwell in the house of the Lord, behold His beauty, and inquire at His temple. The Bible says, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. In Psalm 65, verse 2. And if you would look at Hebrews 4, verse 16, where the Bible talks about how we as Christians, through the blood of Jesus Christ, now have access to the throne of Almighty God. Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse 16. Talking about inquiring at God's temple, we need to be availing ourselves of this wonderful privilege every day of approaching the throne of the Creator of the universe. Notice it says, let us therefore, Hebrews 4:16, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Why can we come boldly? Because of the blood. Not because we deserve to access the throne of God. Not because we're special and more special than others. No, but because God has made a way through the blood for us to access His throne. And we should be availing ourselves of that wonderful privilege every day. And so God is telling us in this passage, we have this foundation of great truth, that God is our strength, that God is our light, that God is our salvation, that God is our protector. Knowing these things, David says, Lord, this is what I want. I want to be able to be in your house whenever I can. I want to be able to behold your beauty and your word. I want to be able to inquire at your temple, to spend more time with you personally. And that's what the Psalms is all about. David spending time with God. And if all those things in verse 2 are true in your Christian life, then you know what the Bible says? You'll never have another problem. It doesn't say that. Just checking, make sure you're paying attention. Now, there's some churches that'll tell you that. But that's not what the Bible says. Matter of fact, often the opposite is true. Because if you set out to live for God and get serious about being faithful to church, serious about being in His Word, serious about being in prayer, now the devil's going to stand up and take notice. Say, uh-oh, got another one. Another Christian going to get serious about his Christianity. We're going to have to do something about this. Because Christians who aren't serious about it, that just sit around and don't do anything, the devil doesn't even bother. But once this Christian says, you know what, I'm going to get serious about serving my God and being in love with my God, learning more about my God, now the devil's going to take notice. He's going to come after us. And our unsaved workmates might do the same. Our unsaved family might do the same. And so after this great commitment from David in verse 4, look what it says in verse 5, for in the time of trouble. Wait a minute. David just made this amazing commitment. He said, Lord, you are my foundation. You're everything. You're my strength. You're my light. You're my salvation. Lord, I'm going to be in your house whenever I can. I'm going to inquire at your temple. I'm going to behold your beauty and your word, Lord. I'm going to get closer to you in the time of trouble. The troubles are still going to come. Because the last thing I didn't mention is, God uses troubles to grow us and to refine us and to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, the Bible says, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. But God promised, verse 5, in the time of trouble, he shall hide me. It's not that when the troubles come, God just leaves us to our own devices. He's still our strength. He's still there for us. So he doesn't remove the troubles, he just helps us through them. And that's the difference. He doesn't promise, oh, that's it. You just reached that milestone with, from this day forward, no more trials. Not in the Bible. It just isn't there. But he does promise that when the trials come, he'll be there for us. You know, Psalm 46:1 says, God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The troubles will continue to come, but he promises to hide us. The Bible says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty in Psalm 91:1. God promises to hide us. And not only that, he says there in verse 5, and set my feet upon a rock. We'll never fall off the rock, just like the children's song. When the storms come, the house on the rock stood firm. And we are on a rock, and that rock is Jesus. We are safe and secure on that rock, and no matter what troubles come, we can't be knocked off the rock. Amen? We are safe and secure. And so David says, Lord, I want to dwell in your house. I want to be there. I recognize the importance that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. I recognize how important it is I dwell in your house. That I behold your beauty and your word. That I inquire your temple every day. That I spend time with you in prayer, Lord. And yes, the troubles will still come. But verse 6, now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of what? Joy? Even though trials come? That's right. James 1 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. And David says, the troubles are going to come. I'm founded on the rock, Jesus. God is my strength. And God's going to hide me when they do come. He's going to put my feet upon a rock. Therefore, what am I going to do? Rejoice. David wrote us from prison. Paul wrote us a letter from prison in the book of Philippians. And he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Philippians 4:4. He was in the stocks when he wrote that. In a dungeon. When he wrote to us, rejoice in the Lord always. David says, I'm going to give the sacrifices of joy, verse 6, and I will sing praises unto the Lord. So we have an amazing foundation, God. And he is our strength. And we need to learn to rely on him. We should not have confidence in the flesh, as we're told in the book of Ephesians. We need to trust in God for our strength, because trusting God for our deliverance, our protection, for our light. But when the troubles come, and they will, even if we commit to being faithful to church, even if we commit to being His Word, even if we commit to being in prayer like we should, the troubles are going to come. But what should be our response? Sacrifices of joy. And I will sing praises. Go to Psalm 33, if you would, verse 1, where the Bible teaches that praise is actually, you know, when you decided what you were going to wear this morning, God says one of the most beautiful things that you could ever put on is praise. Look at Psalm 33:1. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely. It means it looks good. It's comely for the upright. It looks good on you. Nothing looks better on a Christian than praise for God. David said, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to be in your house when I can. I'm going to be in your word. I'm going to be in prayer. And I know the troubles are still going to come. But Lord, when they do, what am I going to do? I'm going to rejoice and praise. That needs to be our response. And remember what Paul said there in 2 Corinthians 12? It says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Think about that. I'd rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon thee. Therefore, I take pleasure. And he goes on to list all the trials that life can bring. So what a beautiful truth. God is the strength of my life. And I hope he's the strength of your life. And if he is, does that guarantee no troubles? No. But if you'll set out to be like David and say, you know, I just want to get closer to God. I just want to be closer to my God. I want to learn more about Him. I want to see more of His beauty and His Word. I want to be in His house when I can. I want to spend more time with Him on my knees. The troubles will still come, but He'll be that refuge and strength. He'll keep you on that rock. And you know what will happen? You'll still rejoice. You'll still praise. Because your heart is in tune with the Lord. And that was the final bit of this passage. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to praise. All these truths lead me to want to live for God and do the right thing. I'm still going to have troubles. Guaranteed. But I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to praise. And we can never do too much of that. Amen? Rejoice and praise. Because he's worthy. How worthy is he? We couldn't even explain it, could we? So God is the strength of my life. I hope you can say this morning, I know I'm born again. I know that my feet are on the rock, Jesus Christ, and God is the strength of my life. Let's pray.